All right, so now to introduce our speaker today, there is one person that probably is the best person for me to talk to when I'm at my grumpiest, because he has been a godsend to me. He's a messenger from God who speaks peace and encouragement to me. His name is Arthur Mbule. So Arthur, will you come up and share with us? This is a special treat that we have. So you guys are all treated to this today. This is a Sunday I'm personally very excited about. We've been planning this for a while. Unfortunately, he got some help, some encouragement from a special lady down there to help encourage and help you do this. But so excited. So we're going to try to have a conversation. Arthur is going to tell some of his stories, and we're going to do this in conversational format. So here's some water if you need any of that. All right, so again, this is just a real special treat that we have as a congregation to hear, I think, a really important, compelling story and realize this man who gives everybody who knows him so much joy and peace and has this great smile, to hear a little bit about where he came from and the work that the Lord has done in your life and for you.
Thank you.
All right.
First of all, I would like to encourage you to listen a little bit carefully, simply because I have accent. And so because of that, you may miss what I say, but that should not discourage you, because you will understand me eventually. We will be talking about underprivileged child whose observation was revealed eventually in his life. So I'm going to start by setting up a scene under which this child's observation came into play. In 1497 to 99, Vasco da Gama set up to sail to India. And this young man is done so after graduating from Sagres, a royal school.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
A naval royal school of Portugal in those days.
All right, so if you've seen the changing slides, we had the route that Vasco da Gama took, leaving Portugal and coming around, and then Sagres, where he was trained, was really important to Arthur, so he wanted to see where it kind of started. So that map of there's Sagres, you see it, that little mark, pin mark at the south tip of Portugal where it's located, and then another map, and then you see kind of what it looks like at the tip. So that's what it looks like, and he wanted to make sure you got a sense of where this is. So go ahead, sir.
He continued his sail, like I indicated earlier, en route to India, seeking precious spices to trade. That was his goal. Now, on his way, shortly after passing the Strait of Cape Town, what we call Cape Town today, he was sailing throughout the coast of East Africa, which today is known as Mozambique. But then his supplies were starting to get, it was starting to dwindle. In the process, he sees a little island and he stops there. And he was looking for supplies, And as he encountered the locals out there, he asked, "Where am I?" And these folks said, "Bin Laden, San Bin Laden." That's what they told me. So that he said, "Okay, whatever that is." And that was, he was being told, this island where you are is this island of Bin San. And he wrote as a note, "This is Mozambique." That's why the name was born. Well, he continued his trip. That is a part one of the scene I wanted to set for you. Because Vasta Gama, of course, he's the one who started the expansion of Europe to everywhere. I mean everywhere. In 1884 to 85, Otto von Bismarck of Germany called a conference, and Great Britain, Germany, Portugal, France, and the King Leopoldville of Belgium were invited guests. And they sat down. The objective was to collude, partition Africa, own it.
Yeah, and so right there you see a map of the colonization. And I know you probably can't see the individual ones, but I got a little color code here. So dark green is Belgium. The light green is France, where Laura hails from. The beige color is Germany. The red is Great Britain. The orange is Italy. The peach is Portugal, Mozambique. And then the darker yellow is Spain. And the lighter yellow is independent.
Now, it was under this scene I just described that a little boy in a bright morning, after breakfast, of course, with his sister playing, and he looks up to the sky, and they started wondering, what is that? Well, it was a puzzle for a little boy. As we all know, the mother has all the answers.
Yep.
He calls to the mother, "What is that? What is that?" And the mother looks up also, and she says, "Roplan, flan machine." You will hear about those two words again later on. Well, the boy sat down, started thinking of what he heard from the mother, but didn't make a sense. He said, "Okay," but he never forgot about it. It became a quest to try to figure out what that real thing is. And it became a lifetime quest and a dream. Well, when these things was happening in his life, of course, the Portuguese had already ownership of Mozambique. And the policy set up, colonial policy that is, was that every native should never go beyond 4 years of elementary education, after which you are supposed to be highly educated in the nation. And of course, you had ability to know what Portugal looks like. You had to memorize the river, the streams, the corners, the kings, the names of everybody. Excluding your own homeland, you just didn't know what it was, but you knew what Portugal is, memorizing it. Well, the boy turned 12. He didn't know how to read, just like the illiterate mother you asked a question earlier. He had to go away, sent away to school. 700 miles away from home. Wow. And started school there. And after which, the colonial power was at a crossroad at a time, because Africa was at the highest peak of its in the war for liberation, and the child was graduating. By then, it was 16. Drafted to the war. And the military gets injured, hospitalized for the following 6 months, and after getting out of the hospital, the little boy disappeared from the land, just ran away from home. Because one of the things that has happened while in the military was to find out that after graduating in the military, will have to fight his own people. He says, I'm not doing that. And beside that, there is this pending question of the role playing. Had to figure out what this thing is. So the young man fled to Tanzania. In Tanzania, he became a refugee. It's not easy to be a refugee at the same time looking or searching for what is absolutely necessary for you yourself. So education for this young man was paramount. And it wasn't easy at all. Now, it turned out that while in Tanzania, this new land, people out there heard of this young man. And these people, they felt a call to help, to reach out. And this young man was a privilege to leave East Africa and go to Williamsport, the home of the Little League, yes. We all know.
Little League World Series, Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
And there, he got into a school, Williamsport Community College, which today is Penn State.
Yeah.
undergot education in aviation school. Upon graduating, this young man gets an opportunity to continue working in the industry. And that is at the school that the revelation of the question was resolved. Remember me mentioning earlier about Roplan and the flying machine. Roplan is airplane. The mother, the illiterate mother, didn't know about airplane. There was no such thing as an airplane. In those days, in their time, in her time, that is, people of Mozambique, special men, I would rather say real men, were forced to go and work in the mines of South Africa. And when they came back, they had come across with people who knew about airplane. So they came back, talked about airplane. And there was no airplane, but a roplane. The sound that how it's, the name how it sounded. So that's how they said it. So my mother, the mother to the child said, roplane. Remember me saying that. The other name, of course, was flying machine. It's a flying machine. The best and the biggest mystery, of course, to this child was the smoke that he saw in the sky. And he asked the mother earlier on. So the smoke was the contrail. For those of you who don't know what that is as well.
That was me. I didn't know the English word for that. The smoke, yeah.
When an aircraft flies up there, and especially those equipped with a turbine engine, the air gets sucked in. At the exit, that air gets into contact with the cold air. A smoke-like trail falls behind. That is a contrail. And that was the best question the child had in his mind. So this child was well equipped. He was knowledgeable of now what the smoke in the sky was. God used people to propagate his mission. People as simple as you and me sitting here to send his message to a child, a good news to a little girl out there. And it so happened that to me, that is true. You and me can be the messenger of God, just like Apostle Paul did. And we all sitting here were the beneficiary of Paul's mission. The Gentile.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
All right. So, a lot of people list their main fear is public speaking as their number one fear. How would you like to do it in your like third or fourth language? Not even your first language. Isn't that amazing? And I think you have your... Okay, so he's even got his Boeing jacket on because this man was... He was an underprivileged child in his language. Didn't understand what the plane was in the sky. And the Lord led him on a journey where he was making airplanes. Isn't that amazing? So I can't tell you how much courage it comes to share a story in not your native culture and not your native language. Very, very difficult to do. So let's give Archer a nice round of applause. And let's quit torturing you. Thank you, brother. You can go have a seat with her. All right. Yeah, thank you. Very, very cool. All right. Well, and part of that story, too, when there was war and he was injured and he didn't want to fight against his own people, he fled to Tanzania, just north of Mozambique. And there he met that lovely lady with him right now. So just kind of crazy how circumstances have worked out. She lives in Ottawa, Ottawa, Canada. And then they just kept in touch, and they're together now. So, Flora, it's a pleasure to have you. Thank you for convincing him to do that. Let's give Flora a hand. Well, as we transition back to the worship team, and Archer talked about looking up at the sky. What a great theme. You see our theme right there for this week, deeper and wider. And I think the longer a lot of us go with the gospel, for me, the more it just blows me away by how deep the love of Christ is. Even Paul, who's a huge role model to Archer, wrote that like we can't even comprehend how deep and how wide is the love of God. With that incredibly deep love that God has for us. So with Archer's talk, one of the big themes was being underprivileged, being a refugee. And so just following up, I wanted to share, because this is really a key thing that Jesus taught. We call it the parable of the sheep and the goats. And it's this incredible parable that Jesus tells, where people are divided at the end and there's a judgment. But let's pick up in 34 through 36. Then the king, keep this in mind, the king divides people. The king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And it's so important to hear this story, not with a paternalistic or a patronizing way of saying there are people below us, they're least. But think about, this is the king. And how we treat people who are hungry, who need something, that's how we're treating Jesus. So Jesus identified very much with those who are struggling. And it's such a wonderful part of the gospel. James Webb gave this telescope image here. Pastor Emily's taken this for our theme for this month. And it's wider, too. We want a challenge to think wider about the world, wider beyond Indianapolis and Indiana and the United States, but realizing that it happens, and the gospel is going on in Mozambique, and this thing is for people all over the world. We often tap into that promise to Abram that God promised through his seed to bless all peoples through him. And the stars were a visible reminder. As it says in Genesis 15, this is God reaffirming that promise to bless all peoples. The Lord took Abram outside and said, look up at the sky. You ever done that, Archer? Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. The stars remind us that stars have been lit for us. This is an image taken by Jay Thomas. Jay comes here when he's around. He's been a cook many years at Camp Challenge. This was from Big Bend, Texas. And if you can see, what an incredible picture of the stars. And as we tap in, there's this idea that these stars, one of these stars that promised Abraham was lit for you, for Arthur. One was lit for me. One was lit for you. And it can be so powerful. We're choosing a song to follow up that has a line about being a stranger in the land. And we're no less than Abram. We're strangers in the world in one way, and a star is lit for him. So as the worship team comes up, I had these God things, these Holy Spirit things just keep happening. Lori Wood and I talk about this. She prays, and then she prays the scripture that's going to be in the sermon, and things like that just keep happening. But yesterday I had my phone, my music was shuffling, it was on shuffle, and there was another song, because we do this quirky thing where we play Rich Mullins music. He's this Indiana artist who died in the late 90s that some of us have an affinity for. And it's just kind of a little quirk that we do here. So we're going to get ready to do one of his songs, but one of his songs popped on my phone, and it was so perfect. It fits so much with Arthur. And so much with the gospel and the whole picture. Because Arthur went to Mozambique, and then he went to Kenya. And then he went to the United States, and thinking about what God did. So here are the lines to one of the last songs he wrote before his death, My Deliverer. Joseph took his wife and his child, and they went to Africa to escape the rage of a deadly king. There along the banks of the Nile, Jesus listened to the song that the captive children used to sing. They were singing, my deliverer is coming. My deliverer is standing by. Through a dark, dry, and thirsty land, water from the Kenyan heights, Archer's been there, pours itself out of Lake Sangra's broken heart. Sangra is a word for blood, and it's so close to Sagra, that town that Archer talked about, which is holy. Holy blood, sagra, sangra, a reference to the blood of Christ, the holiness of Christ. There in the Sahara winds, Jesus heard the whole world cry for the healing that would flow from his own scars. The world was singing, my deliverer is coming, my deliverer is standing by. He will never break his promise. He has written it upon the sky. Will you pray the Lord's Prayer with me? Our Father in heaven.